Very happy Easter to you. The Lord has risen. He's risen indeed. That gives us confidence. It gives us hope. It sets us apart from every other faith group. Our loving Savior who's died for us has risen again. And what a joy that is. Lord, we ask that you would bless this word now. And the word that is on the pages of our Bible would be the living word. As Jesus is the living word. Amen. I wonder when your birthday is and how much you care about birthdays. I guess as the years go on, people care about their birthdays less and less. My birthday is the 12th of July, and so feel free to remember that. Send me a card. Totally fine. Birthdays are a great occasion, aren't they? A good time to have family around to celebrate the life that's been given to us. And to enjoy them. Maybe you've got significantly more birthdays than me. Maybe you've topped the 70s, the 80s, or the 90s. Well, you've been truly blessed if that is the case for you. So in our culture, birthdays are important, but I want to talk about a more important day today, and I don't think you'll be surprised about that on Easter. I want to talk about a more important day, not just a historical day, but a day for us. Now, in our Bible reading, we have read about Joseph of Arimathea and everything that he did to lovingly care for Jesus' body and to give him a good burial. And we're told there in verse 42 that it was preparation day, the day before the Sabbath. As evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, went to go and get Jesus' body. Now, prominent member of the council is probably talking there about the Sanhedrin. You see them referred to in Mark 15, verse 1. They're the guys who've tried Jesus, handed him over to Pilate. So he's probably been sat there as a voting member of the Sanhedrin. But we don't know what he voted. We hope that he was bold and stood with Jesus, but nonetheless, he's being bold now. He's a prominent member of the council, so he's not just a sort of rank and file member. He's someone who is, that word prominent could be translated, is respected, and who is powerful. So he's got a lot to lose. There's a lot that is on the line for Joseph of Arimathea, but he's a bold person. We're told that he goes boldly to Pilate and asks for Jesus' body at the end of verse 43. So maybe he's been nursing this faith in Jesus for a while, or it's just disgust at seeing what the Sanhedrin have done and the Spirit of God has worked in him. But he goes, and that's going to be at great cost to him because that will get reported back to the Sanhedrin. Everyone will know what he's done. He's a brave man, he goes boldly. N.T. Wright's translation of this verse in his commentary, he says that Joseph took his courage in both hands. I love that translation. Took his courage in both hands. Does that ever describe something that you need to do when you serve the Lord? Are you aware that sometimes you just need to take your courage in both hands? Courage is an important element of the Christian life. We need to use it and not lose it. He goes boldly to Pilate, forgets about his position, forgets about everything that is on the line, and asks for Jesus' body. And that's despite the fact he can't help Jesus now. It's an act of love and devotion. John reports for us slightly more fully in his gospel, John 19, and tells us that Joseph, in chapter 19, verse 38, now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. Well, I suspect it's not so secret anymore, but he is a disciple, a believer. The Lord can work in people of every position of society, and he's able to win their hearts over. Nothing can hold him back and restrict him. So Joseph took his courage in both hands and he goes for the body. He's not alone though. He goes with Nicodemus. You remember Nicodemus? Yep. Nicodemus, the one who came to Jesus, we're told, at night. In John chapter 3, asking the Lord if he was sent from God. And Jesus tells him that he needs to be born again. And there's this big discussion, how can I be born again when I've been born the first time? He goes at night as a teacher of the law because he doesn't want to be seen. He wants to go under the radar of his friends and professional colleagues. And yet John tells us in John's Gospel 19, this, he, that's Joseph, was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who had earlier visited at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 35 kilograms. So the two of them go and get the body. Mark doesn't give that detail. What bravery to do that. And Joseph, we're told, is one who was waiting for the kingdom of God. You see that in the middle of verse 43. Nicodemus and Joseph, waiting for the kingdom of God. Now, are we those who are waiting for the kingdom of God? I think we need to accept the fact that in the Christian life, risk is right. Maybe we're those who hide in the shadows. We don't want others to know, professional colleagues, friends. It's costly. We wonder what they'll say about us, what they'll do to us. But we need to stand and be counted in the light and not stalk in the shadows. So if you're a believer, don't be a secret believer. Let people know that you've encountered Christ and say, I'm waiting for the coming of the kingdom. It's real devotion, isn't it? Verse 46. He goes, and I've not spotted this before, he buys the linen cloth himself, Joseph, to wrap Jesus's body, and he took down the body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in the tomb. People have surmised that this was probably his own tomb. He had access to it. He was entitled to lay a body there. Perhaps it was something he bought for himself, a space where he would one day be laid, but he's using it for Jesus instead, and that's real devotion, isn't it? With two witnesses there to see the body placed in this tomb, which is cut out of the rock, then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. And we're told, verse 47, lovely detail from Mark, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. So they're witnesses to the resurrection. They're there to tell us, yet the body really was placed in there, it wasn't stolen away, and then the stone was rolled across. They're witnesses. And just bear in mind that in the ancient world, if you were going to make up a story like this, you wouldn't choose women as the witnesses. You would choose a man. So a woman's testimony wasn't admitted in court, wasn't accepted in court. And it's just proof, really, this hasn't been made up. God has women witnessing to the resurrection, and they would tell us Jesus really was buried in the tomb, dead, and his body wasn't stolen away. So we're waiting for the kingdom. We need to say, I'm waiting for the kingdom, and to say that to everyone. And then we need to say to ourselves, my body will one day rest in the ground as well. These women have gone for the next part of the funeral. We're told that the stone is rolled across the tomb. They were large discs, as Glyn was telling us the other day. You could push them downhill, but much harder to move out of the way. And they go, verse 1 of chapter 16, to do what the burial rites of the day required. They brought spices with them to go and anoint Jesus' body. They didn't know that Nicodemus had already got there. And he'd done that when Joseph took the body. They go to go and anoint it. And they've not really thought about, I guess grief does this, they've not really thought about how they're going to get into the tomb. Because look, they say, verse 3, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? It's just pure devotion. And they're going there to do what they can for their friend. I think they're the same women, the same two Marys. You see in verse 47 of chapter 15, there's two Marys there. One has a son called Joseph. And then in 16, verse 1, going to anoint the body, there's two Marys, but one has a son called James. Well, I think the Mary with the son Joseph and the Mary with the son James are the same person. It's just describing different sons, using different sons to identify them. Probably because James was well known in the early church and a scribe has substituted his name in at some point. Earlier manuscripts actually say Joseph in verse 47 and chapter 16, verse 1, which would be an easier way, actually, of saying they're the same two Marys. And that's important because they're start to finish witnesses. They've seen the body laid in the tomb, and now they've seen that it's not there. And so they are able, God has them there to join the dots for us reliably. So they go with the spices. They're just ready for a funeral, and then an angel interrupts them. Verse 4, but when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, being rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, just described as a young man there. Matthew describes him as an angel in his gospel. So we know that's what he is, but gospel writers focus on different things, convey different bits of information. And so what would be just pure grief and someone who's gone the way of all men, having died according to the curse that God instituted in Genesis when he said that death would come into the world, that's been interrupted. Usual service has been suspended, and something very different has happened, and an angel has come to announce that, because this is heaven breaking in to a world where grief is the normal course of events. Verse 6, see the place where they laid him. You see, the place is there. There was a place, but now there's no body. The angel is saying, look into this. Sense what's happened. He's risen. There's a place, but there's no body. And I wonder what you make of that. It's wonderful hope for the Christian. And it's actually the heart of the Christian message. It's why Easter, not Christmas, is actually really the central festival of the Christian church. We need to be those waiting for God's kingdom. So we say to ourselves, my body will rest in the ground, but I will rise with Jesus. Because that's the invitation. Jesus has risen again. And the New Testament tells us that when we're united to him by faith, we'll rise too. Listen to Romans 8, verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. So if and when you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit enters you. And that same Spirit which resurrected Jesus back to life will resurrect you back to life. So when your body is laid in the grave, that won't be the end for you, just like it wasn't the end for Jesus. The normal course of things is interrupted, and God brings his saints back to life. Their spirits go to be with Jesus straight away. Like Jesus says to the thief on the cross, this day you'll be with me in paradise. It's an instant thing. Our spirits go to be with him. Our bodies go into the grave. And then when Christ returns, there'll be the bodily resurrection. Our souls and spirits will be brought back together, and bodies made new, and we'll live with him forever. So Romans 8:11 says the same spirit which rose Jesus from the dead will cause you to rise from the dead. And this is such wonderful news, that Jesus lived his life waiting for his resurrection day. Look at verse 7. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him just as he told you. Jesus has been telling them about this, getting them ready, not just for a death, but for his resurrection, for the empty tomb, although they've not fully taken it on board. We see examples of this, such as in Mark chapter 8. And you'll see it there. Mark 8:31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. So it's clear in Jesus' mind, and he's very focused on it, meditating on it, teaching it. And it's something that he prepared them for as well, so that they could have faith in it and put the pieces together, join the dots, as we've already said, when he rises again. Hebrews 12, verse 2 tells us that Jesus endured the cross because of the hope of resurrection, the glory that was set before him. So that was in his mind. You see, resurrection can get you through anything. when you have an illness, terminal illness maybe, trust in Jesus. It's nothing that a resurrection can't cure. Jesus will cause us, when our bodies plant in the ground like seeds, if we trust in him, to be resurrected. And I want to invite you to do that. Seriously, especially if you're ill, especially if you're elderly, not much time left to trust in Christ. He looked forward to his resurrection. And angels are so moved by the resurrection and so intent on conveying it that we're told that they reveal it here. For an angel is there in verse 6 proclaiming it. When do we meet angels? Well, I should say, when do people meet angels in the Gospels? Have a think about that. When does it tend to happen? Well, it's at Jesus' birth. They announce that. A great cluster of angels encountering people and preaching the good news at his birth. And there's very little in between the birth and Jesus' resurrection when the angel announces it to people. Very little interaction of angels to people between those two events. I wonder if you've thought about that before. Why is that? It's because heaven wants you to know about Jesus' birth so that you can trust him. And it wants you to know about his resurrection so that you can join in with it. Now, I want to read to you from John 5, verse 29, because it's very important. It tells us of the options, the two options that lie before us all. Listen to John 5, verse 29. If you've got a Bible there, you might like to turn to it. It says, it speaks of those who have done what is good, and says they will rise to live. And those who've done what is evil will rise to be condemned. So all of us will experience a resurrection. There's not one single person who's ever lived who won't experience a resurrection. The question is, will it be a good one? I want to encourage you to place your faith in Christ so that you might have a good resurrection. So the Spirit of God will enter you and give life to your mortal body like it did to his. Some will be resurrected to judgment, and others to eternal life and joy with Jesus. Can you see that this is what heaven is announcing? All of us have a birthday, and many of us look forward to a happy birthday. Will you, though, have a happy resurrection day? And I pray that you will, and may God grant you a very happy Easter as well.